Reading from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Now, when Jesus heard this, and I'll tell you what he heard in just a minute. When Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a lonely place apart. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. As he went ashore, he saw a great throng, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a lonely place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Then he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Well, I made a promise last week before God and this fellowship to contribute something. And one of the things I decided to contribute was the donation of blood, and on Tuesday, I held up that commitment and went to the blood bank. Thought I would give 1 unit of blood, and when I got there, they asked if I would consider donating red cells, which is the equivalent of 2 units of blood, so that it can be that the donation can, in effect, get twice the good. And I said, "Sure, what's the difference?" "Oh, not much. It's the same amount of time. You just can't give blood again for twice as long." I said, "No problem. It's fine." So we go through the whole thing. The questions, they give you all kinds of literature. And the literature says, just it's like it comes this close to saying, what you were about to do could kill you. Well, not really. But they have all of these. When you're done, 15 minutes here, drink some water, eat something, be very careful, have someone help you upstairs, yada, yada, yada. No big deal. Went home, felt fine. Next day, in the cool of the day, I decide I'm going to redo and get going with my normal 30-minute hard aerobic workout. Well, I got about halfway through that, and I'm thinking, red blood cells carry oxygen to the rest of your body, like your legs. Going, man, oh man, this is harder than I thought. So I geezed it through about half the workout and gave it up. Well, I've built up a little bit, and as of yesterday, I could go full distance, but nowhere near full speed. When you give something, especially giving blood, it's important to, in effect, recharge, renew, refuel. So that's what I've been thinking about this week. How is it in the course of our giving and our serving, which is all the rage in churches. This is about all we talk about most of the time. Let's give more, serve more, and so on. Well, it seems to me there's a constitutive part of giving and serving that involves refueling. So I want to talk this morning about how we, individually and collectively, refuel and gain strength and regain strength for ministry. One of the explicit instructions from the blood bank was, tonight, eat a good meal. Okay, no problem there. We had grilled steak, one of my favorite meals. Food replenishes and recharges. And not just the nutritional value of that, but the sort of emotional strength that comes with eating, among other things, your favorite food. I will tell you that when I've had a particularly hard week or I'm going through a particularly stressful time at work or in other 4 facets of my life, I gain emotional strength as well as physical strength by eating some of my favorite foods. And, you know, the list changes a little bit from time to time, but things like roast chicken, pot roast, grilled steak, smoked ribs, meatloaf. They're on my list of foods that not only fill my body, but also replenish my spirit because of the comfort and strength that I get from just my favorite things. So food is a way not only to refuel physically, but also emotionally when it's attached to some of your favorite memories and so on, and some of your favorite people with whom you share it. It's no accident that among our most sacred rituals in our church is the sharing of food, metaphorically, more or less. It's no accident that Jesus chose to equip his disciples for ministry at the sharing of a meal. At the end of his life, he took the Passover celebration, one of the high holy days of their tradition, gave it new meaning and said, "You are not the church without this. You are not the church without the sharing of food." And he called it literally the body and blood of himself. So that when we receive the body and blood of Jesus, it gets mixed up with our own bodies and blood and gives us literal energy to be about the business of ministry. But you have to stop and refuel, in part, with food. Secondly, I think we refuel, even for the ministry of a congregation or community, through solitude. We refuel with solitude. We have all said, "Everybody, leave me alone for a while. I'm going to do something to get my own head back in the game." Maybe it's time out in the corner with a book. Maybe it's some sort of isolated activity. This aerobic exercise that is a part of my life is really my time to refuel. It's not just the aerobic exercise of my heart, but it's in some sense the emptying of my mind, the purging sometimes of anger and resentment, the sorting out of things that need to be sorted in my life, the planning of the next sequence of research, or in many respects, getting together the ideas that become this sermon. That's where I do my sermon research, aerobic exercise. Makes my running shoes tax deductible. Maybe. The point is, it's a time of solitude. Sometimes a time of solitude and prayer. I think that as much as anything is the point of the story in the Bible of the multiplication of loaves. It's the only miracle that Jesus performs that's in all four Gospels. And in each case, it's tied to his need afterward to be alone. Look what he's done. In this particular telling of the story, it starts by saying when Jesus had heard this, well, what he had heard was the death of his cousin and good friend John the Baptist, who'd been executed by the king. That made him want to retreat, but the crowd wouldn't let him. And when the crowd came, he had compassion on them, he healed their sick, and then, because there was nobody else to do it, he fed them. I'm presuming that that took a fair amount of energy. And in order to be able to do anything again, the Bible is very explicit and says Jesus dismissed the crowds, he told his disciples to get lost, and he went up on a mountain to pray. It highlights the importance of both solitude and prayer in refueling and recharging. Finally, I think in addition to food and reflection, the sharing of experience recharges us. The sharing of an experience of even an insight learned by yourself, or that book you were reading when everybody needed to leave you alone, when you finish it, give it to someone and say, "Read this and let's talk about it." Let's share the experience. Let's share a meal. Maybe even provide or use the meal as a way of giving each other undivided attention. If you're really serious, with candlelight and soft music. Share the experience of being in the company of one who loves you not if, but anyway. Plan an experience. In 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today, you'll be here, we'll be on the beach. That event, that vacation, that time of recharging, in a sense, in the company of our family, in a special and in many respects sacred place, well, that whole deal starts in February when we start looking for the place we're going to stay. We start, what do we need? What do we want? Where can we go? Et cetera, et cetera. This has been planning for 3 or 4 or 5 months, all of which involves the sharing of the experience and makes the experience of thinking about it as well as experiencing it. And then we'll look at the pictures afterward, a way of refueling and recharging. Spending time with people who love us. Spending time with people who love us and not doing things that we would typically do, but actually giving and taking and sharing undivided attention refuels and recharges. Most of what I've been talking about you can find in the story. Jesus experiences grief and seeks to be by himself. Crowds come, and he does for them what he was called to do. He shares food with them, and then he goes off by himself, and then he's back about the business of ministry. Eating, praying, fellowship. Sounds a lot like church, doesn't it? Culturally, we've set aside a day when, well, at least we've set aside the day to keep holy the Sabbath in one form or another. We worship together each week. We provide an opportunity, once a month at least, literally eating, a time for prayer, reflection, and certainly a time to be in the company of those with whom we share responsibility, with whom we share friendship, and with whom we share the opportunity for ministry. This is a kind of refueling station, a kind that I'm grateful to be a part of, that I'm grateful is a part of my life. And we need it. Even through the giving of time and talent or blood, you can't do that unless you recharge. So eat something good this week in the company of someone who loves you. Spend some time you with you and refuel and recharge as our Lord would have it. Amen.